I'd like to have you look with me at, first of all, in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and while you're turning to that, I'd like to express the thanks of my wife and myself for all the kindness, which is habitual with you, and we appreciate it just the same. So glad to be here, and we value your prayers, as has been mentioned, and you have prayed this evening. And Lord willing, I leave on Friday, I think it is, of this week, to go to a conference in North Dakota, and I'd appreciate your prayers for that. We're going to read, first of all, about three prayers. We're at a prayer meeting tonight, and we're going to read about three prayers recorded in the Word of God. First of all, Luke 12 and verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, that is unto the Lord Jesus, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the appropriate your prayers for that. We're going to read, first of all, about three prayers. We're at a prayer meeting tonight, and we're going to read about three prayers recorded in the Word of God. First of all, Luke 12 and verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, that is unto the Lord Jesus, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Turn back to the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and we will read beginning at verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and reading from verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he, the Lord Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Better therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And the next passage is found in the Old Testament, Psalm 139, verse 23 and verse 24. The prayer of David. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Speak to my brother. Speak to my sister. Have you ever thought that if you could just get your brother and sister straightened out, everything would be okay? Speak to my brother. Speak to my sister. Speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. He was asking for more money. That was his prayer. Want a little more money, Lord? Subtract a little bit from my brother and give it to me. A very unselfish prayer, obviously. Speak to my sister. I need a little less work. I've been working too hard. Get her to help me. A little less work. That sounds like a disinterested prayer, doesn't it? Sounds a little bit selfish, doesn't it? One wanted more money, and the other one wanted less work. And then there was David's prayer. He said, speak to me, Lord. It's me, not my brother. It's not my sister. It's me. Speak to my brother. The scripture says that let your conversation be without covetousness. This warning that the Lord Jesus puts here was an answer to this man's prayer. He wanted more money. The Lord says, let me tell you something. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Some of us have the idea that the more we have, the better off we are. And sometimes we'd be better off if we had less. Speak to my brother that he divide inheritance with me. There have been more fights over wills than any other thing that I can think of. Somebody said, where there's a will, there's a way. Wrong. Where there's a will, there's a lot of relatives fighting over it. That's the way it is. And people will quibble and argue over this little thing. That picture. See that picture on the wall? Daddy wanted me to have that. He didn't want you. You ever heard anything like that? You mean Christians get involved in this kind of stuff? You bet your life they do. And if they didn't, there would be no reason whatever for the Lord to give us a warning. It says, beware of covetousness. And the Epistle of Hebrews says, let your manner of life be without covetousness. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And if you didn't have two dimes to rub against the other, and you had the Lord, you've got all that you need. Search me, O God. The scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and it's written to believers, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't mean that everything that is done in our lives is done for money. But there's nothing that has ever been done in the way of sin that has not been done for money. People will cheat for money. People will lie for money. People will disown the Lord for money. For fear it will offend someone. Won't speak a word in season to him that is weary. The love of money is the root of all evil, the which, while some have coveted after, they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It doesn't help you. It ruins your life as a believer. And the world is looking at Christians and how they react to money, what they do with it, and what they will do for it. And all of us, to some degree, stand indicted. Because we all have a little bit of covetousness in us. And the Lord says, beware of it. Beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. It all depends what kind of a man you want to be. If you're a Christian, it all depends on what kind of a man you want to be or what kind of a woman you want to be. Paul writing to Timothy, and Timothy's name means the one who pleases God. And he was one who pleased God. Paul links his name with him in five different of his epistles. Timothy. Mother named him. That's what she wanted of him when she named him. One who pleases God. And Paul says, the love of money is the root of all evil, the which while some coveted after, they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God. You want to be a man of God? He says, flee these things. It's not what you have that counts with God. It's what you are. And you're not what you think you are, and I'm not what I think I am. You're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. What are you occupied with? You occupied with the material things of life that are so soon to pass away? The things which are seen are temporal, and we become so occupied, so absorbed with things that are so soon to pass away. The Lord speaks in this passage here in Luke chapter 12. He said, this man, he thought, well, I've got a very prosperous farm here. Didn't give any credit to God. He says, the ground. Well, who made the ground and who sends the rain and the sunshine and all the rest of it? The ground brought forth plentifully. And men can take credit oftentimes in their success in business for what they've done. You know, if you make a success, you think how smart I am. And if you go broke, you say, why did the Lord allow this to happen to me? The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, and that's the first mistake he made. He thought within himself. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And when we look into the Word of God, we have the privilege of thinking God's thoughts after him. And they're precious. And they're numerous. How great is the sum of them. It's a wonderful thing, fellow believer, to know that there is not a moment of every day or any day that God is not thinking about you and thinking about me. He's in love with his people. And he thinks about us. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And here we read that this man, he thought within himself, I'm going to pull down my barns and build greater. I'm going to increase the business. I'm going to make it larger and larger and larger. And I'm going to store all of this, what I've accumulated, here. And here we read that this man, he thought within himself, I'm going to pull down my barns and build greater. I'm going to increase the business. I'm going to make it larger and larger and larger. And I'm going to store all of this, what I've accumulated, here. The problem with accumulation is that it's really of no value. We think of it as valuable, but it isn't valuable. This man had all kinds of barns. And he thought, well, I'm rich. But God said to him, you've spent your last day on earth. How rich was he then? Left it everything. I don't know anybody that leaves this world without leaving everything behind. And the only things that are of eternal value are the things which you lay up for God. You know, we read that verse, lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust is corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. You know what we do? We go out and lay up treasures on earth. We don't pay the slightest attention to that. It's just as though that wasn't written in the Word. It's just as though the Lord had never spoken those words. He says, don't lay up your treasure here. Lay it up there. And he mentions three things. You know, the only things, he says, where moth and rust is corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. The only time things are stolen are the things that are not being used. I've never seen any moths attack me when I'm wearing my clothes. You know what they do? The ones that are hanging in the closet, maybe the ones that you don't wear. Maybe you've got 10 suits of clothes you haven't worn in a year. They get busy on them. It's the things that are not being used that they attack. That's what they steal. And it says where rust doth not. The word really is eater. It's not moss, but it's mice. You know, I eat breakfast every morning. I eat breakfast cereal. I love breakfast cereal. And I've never seen a mouse or a rat, when I'm dipping up this out of the bowl, come here and say, Mr. Van Ryan, if you don't mind, let me have a little bit of that. And they start eating it. But, you know, they don't do that. But what those rascals do, when you buy Rice Krispies or whatever you buy, and you put it out on the shelves, they're just sitting out there doing nothing. Ah, very nice. Put it here just for me. It's what you're not using. The same way with money. It's what you're not using that gets stolen. It's what you got stored in the mattress somewhere, or maybe stored in a bank that goes broke on you. Peter Pell said once, in my hearing, I was thinking of that verse, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. And he said, if I want to lay my treasure in heaven, I better get it in things that are going to heaven. And he said, the only things that are going to heaven are sinners saved by the grace of God. Let me invest my time, my talent, my treasure in seeing souls saved and in building up the people of God, and then I'll know when it gets there. When I get there, it'll be there. The Lord called this man a fool because he was just living as though he was always going to be here. And so often we live as though we're always going to be here. And we do not know, not one of us, what a day may bring forth. When we landed on the 25th of April of this year at the airport here, Gareth and Claribel came right up to us and told us that Alvin had gone to be with the Lord. He went down to Nassau just a few days before, I believe, without the slightest thought that within just a short time he'd be out of this world and in the presence of the Lord. And none of us know what a day may bring forth. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things which be which thou hast provided? And I feel convinced that many of us will be disappointed because we didn't use, not I'm not only speaking of money, but our time, which is money and talent, for the furtherance of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, speak to my brother. He's got too much. He should share some of that with me. Do you ever feel that way? Well, that's covetousness. It's wanting what the other man has. If his father had intended that he have some of that, he would have put it in his will. But he gave it to this son. And if God intended you to get it, he'd see that you got it. Speak to my brother. And then it was Martha. She was cumbered about, it says, with much serving. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me alone? I've got to do all of this by myself. I'm not getting any help from her. Speak to her. Speak to my sister. If you could only get my sister straightened out, everything would be okay. Have you ever felt that way? You could get your brother straightened out and you get your sister straightened out, everything would be okay. Well, the Lord said that Mary had chosen that good part. The Lord wasn't against her working in the kitchen. And you know, sometime later, we read about John 12. Martha learned a lesson from this experience with the Lord. You don't hear any complaint in John 12. It says they made him a sufferer. And Martha served. No word of complaint. And Mary broke that alabaster box of ointment. There was no jealousy. They all both did what they could for the Lord. But here, she was very much upset. And the Lord's answer to her prayer was this. Speak to my sister. The Lord's answer to her prayer was, Mary hath chosen that good part. He said, it'll not be taken from her. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You know, it's possible for us, sisters, as well as brothers, to become so busy in the kitchen, we fail to take time to sit at the Lord's feet and hear his word. And we need to sit at his feet and hear what he has to say. She sat at his feet and she heard his word. And the result of it was that when the Lord Jesus was taken outside of Jerusalem's walls and nailed to a tree, she didn't go. She didn't feel any need to go because she had sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, and she learned that the one who was going to be there on that cross was going to suffer many things. He was going to be crucified. And the third day he was going to rise again. He said he's going to rise again. Why should I go and see him crucified? He's going to rise again. And so 6 days before the Lord Jesus hung on the cross, it says they made him a supper. And Martha served. And Mary took an alabaster box of ointment. Judas said it was worth a year's wages, 300 pieces of silver. He sold the Lord Jesus, betrayed him for one-tenth of that price. And he said, why this waste? Could have had all that money. It said it wasn't because he cared for the poor. But he was a thief and he took what was put in the bag. He thought, like it's often possible for us to think, that anything spent on me is worthwhile. But anything spent on him, we have to kind of watch that pretty closely. But Mary took that alabaster box of ointment and she had no intention whatever of using it for herself. She had no intention of giving it to her sister. She had no intention of putting it on her brother, Lazarus, when he died. The Lord Jesus said she had only one purpose for it. Against the day of my burying, she kept this. The women who came to put the spices on the Lord Jesus' body in the tomb, they came too late. And they came unnecessarily. The Lord Jesus says she came beforehand to anoint my body to the burial. And he said, she hath wrought a good work on me. He said, wheresoever this gospel is preached, this also that this woman hath done shall be told for memorial of her. Speak to my sister. The Lord didn't speak to her sister. He answered her prayer, but he spoke to her. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. He spoke to her, the one who prayed. He answered her prayer, and she discovered the answer. And she served at the same time that Mary offered that wonderful sacrificial gift of love to our Lord Jesus. Speak to me. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak to me by name, O Master. Let me know it is for me. And we all need to have the heart of Samuel. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, waiting for thy gracious word. Longing for that voice that cheereth, Master, let it now be heard. I am listening, Lord, for thee. Master, speak, oh, speak to me. Search me. What a prayer of courage. Search me. Lord, I'm here available. Just search me and know my heart. So deceptive, the human heart. It tells us we're good when we're bad. It tells us we're generous when we're cheap. It tells us that we're kind when we're unkind. It tells us we're sweet when we're sour. The Bible says the biggest liar you'll ever know is your own heart. And David says, Lord, just search me. Take an inspection, Lord, of my heart and know my heart. He says, test me and know my thoughts. The Bible says the thoughts of the wicked are only evil continually. And you know how our thoughts will be acceptable to God? Is that we obey that injunction, how precious are thy thoughts unto me. If we think his thoughts after him, they'll be precious to us and precious to him. As the heavens are above the earth, God says, so are my ways above thy ways and my thoughts above thy thoughts. How can I know God's thoughts? How can I know him? The Lord Jesus says, what you have to do is to search the scriptures. They testify of me. Do you want to get to know me better? Search the word of God. That's where he's revealed to our hearts. And we read of the believers at Berea that they search the scriptures daily. Is that the attitude of your life? Do you spend time every day in the word of God? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, the Lord knows how to search the heart out. See him as he searches the heart of Peter out in John chapter 21. Peter, I guess he figured, no sense my doing anything for the Lord anymore. I've made such a mess of my life. He said, I stood up and said, Lord, though all men deny thee, yet will not I. And I denied the Lord three times. He said, I go fishing. I'm going back to the job that I did before. I'm going back to that. I'm going to forget all about my responsibility to the Lord. I go fishing. Six other men said, we also go with thee. And that night they caught nothing. The Lord standing on the shore said, have you caught anything? Cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. And then the Lord made them a supper. They were seeking to make a supper for themselves, but they found out that he provided for them. He had fish there. They're not told that he went fishing, but he had fish there for them. And he fed them. Now, a good time to speak to people is after they're fed. You feel pretty good after you may feel grouchy before you get fed, but after you're fed, you feel pretty good. And Peter felt pretty well about the situation. The Lord said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? He says, Lord, thou knowest all things, and I love thee. But Peter didn't use the word that the Lord used. He said, I have an affection for thee. The Lord says, Peter, I haven't given up on you. You may have given up on yourself, but I haven't given up on you. He says, feed my lambs. Do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know I love you. He says, tend my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? He says, Lord, thou knowest all things. He was grieved because the Lord asked the third time. Do you really have an affection for me, the Lord asks. And Peter said, Lord, I can't say, but you know I have an affection for you. And the Lord probed Peter's conscience, and he brought him down to that point where he recognized how much he needed the Lord. And it wasn't his love for the Lord that counted. It was the fact that the Lord loved him. And when we realize that, in spite of our failure, in spite of anything that may happen in our life, he's still the same. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray, and back to his dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 8, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what a man has and not according to what a man has not. And sometimes we don't put things first that we need to put first in our lives. In Matthew chapter 5-7, the Lord Jesus speaks of three things that we need to put first. He says, if you go to offer a gift at the altar, and you remember that there's a brother that has something against you, he says, just forget about that. Leave your gift at the altar. And he says, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And the Lord is saying, in effect, you get things straight with your brother before you come to offer me anything. And so often, we're just content to just kind of sweep things under the rug. He says, first, that's number one, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And the implication is that God doesn't accept our gifts if we don't get things straightened out. That's a solemn word, but it's an important word. And then the Lord Jesus said this, and it's in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, I jotted it down. And he speaks, he says, you know, the Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. And he says, he knows that you need food to eat, and he needs you to know clothes. But he said, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, the material things of life, he says, I'll be taken care of. You put me first. And he says, I'll take care of the rest. Many years ago, Sir Walter Raleigh was coming over to the United States. It wasn't the United States then, it was America. There was no United States. There wasn't even a country at that time. And Queen Elizabeth wanted him to take to some mission over here for her. And he said, well, what about my business interests here in England? And her answer was this, you take care of my business, and I'll take care of your business. You put the Lord first in your life, and he'll take care of your business. And so often we put things ahead of him to our spiritual detriment. And then he speaks in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 5. He speaks about the fellow. He looks at his brother and he looks at him and he says, he can find all kinds of fault in his brother. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. I can find fault with you. You can find fault with me. That's no problem to do that. But the Lord says, before you do anything drastic, you first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. And then thou shalt see clearly to take that little mote out of thy brother's eye first. And if we're going to be an honor and a blessing for God and for the people that we seek to serve, we have to put first things first. And I want you to notice this. Peter was told, feed my lambs. He was told to tend my sheep, and he was told to feed my sheep. Twice as much time spent on feeding as tending. You know, it's a lot easier to tell people what to do than to feed them, and God will enable them to do what he wants them to do. Sheep need to be fed. And we need to spend time in the Word of God so that we'll have something to feed God's people with. How important that is. Feed my sheep. When Peter wrote his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 5, you remember it says, he says, I'm also an elder. He says, the elders which are among you I exhort. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not by force. Listen, I'm going to tell you what to do. Not that way. Not for filthy lucre, not for what you're going to get out of it, but of a ready mind. Not as being lords over God's heritage, it says, but being in samples of the flock. And I don't care who you are, whether you're an elder or you're not an elder, the best way that any of us can influence others is by a godly example. And when Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, be thou an example of the believers. He says, you show people what a believer is like by the way you live. You're trusting in God and resting in him. And as we do that, I'm sure God will bless us. Someone asked an old shepherd years ago over in Scotland, they were bragging about what healthy sheep that he had. He said, how come you have such healthy sheep? He said, I took good care of the lambs. If you feed them when they're young, you teach them the word of God from the time they're in your home, just little babies, the first thing you know, they get saved, and then they grow, and they go for the Lord. Search me, O God. Try me and know my thoughts. You know, our minds are so often occupied with everything under the sun. And if there's one thing that we need to do in our Christian life, is to guard our thought life. No infants, changing pleasure. Jan Darby wrote, is like my wandering mind. And our minds go everywhere, and we just have to take our minds by the nape of the neck and say, I have set the Lord always before me. The psalmist says, I will set no evil thing before mine eyes. And so often we see things which we'd better not to see, hear things which we'd better not to hear. Gossip, will you listen to that? Better tune it out. We don't need to hear that. And we don't need to peddle that in our Christian life. And what a difference it would be if we observed that. Try me and know my thoughts. And that suggests God is going to test us in our life. And we need to be tested. Try me. Test me. And the wonderful thing is that God has promised that whatever trial we go through as believers, there is no temptation or trial taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tested above that you are able, but will with the trial make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. My Bible tells me that God loves me so much he's going to test me. God did test Abraham. And he tests everyone who's of the faith of Abraham, and all that are of faith are children of Abraham. He tests every one of us. For the scripture says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. We sing sometimes in one of our hymns, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume, and thy gold to refine. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'll still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Help me to get a grip on my thought life. And if there be any wicked way in me, see if there be any wicked way in me. Let me know, Lord, if there's some wickedness that I'm permitting in my life. The Bible has a wonderful assurance. If there's something wicked in my life, it says, it gives a prediction, and it gives a promise. It says this, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. That's a prediction. And if you and I cover our sins, we're not going to prosper. But it says, he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. It doesn't make any difference what you may have done in your life as a Christian. My Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I can be clean again. I can be useful for God. I don't have to live in the past of my failure. I can go on and go on. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what we need today is to keep on keeping on. And we need to take to heart the hymn that we often sang, keep us, Lord. Oh, keep us cleaving to thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys with thee. David says, Lord. He doesn't say, Lord, speak to my brother. He doesn't say, Lord, speak to my sister. He says, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. May each of us listen for the shepherd's voice and respond to him and say, Lord, I want to go on in the right way. Lead me in the way everlasting. Savior, lead me, lest I stray. Gently lead me all the way. And he has said, if we follow him, he'll lead us. He says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we need to keep on following him. And praise God, we can say with the psalmist, he leadeth me. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Shall we pray? Lord, we pray that we may not pray these selfish prayers. Lord, speak to my brother. Lord, speak to my sister. But may we say with the psalmist, oh Lord, search me and try me. And know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, we pray that thou would deliver us from self, that great enemy that we all face day by day. Help us to live in the power of the risen life which we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. Part us with thy blessing. Encourage thy people here, and as we approach the days of the conference, we pray that there will be a lot of heart searching, on the part of thy people here. The people here, all of thy people, will go into this conference with a deep-seated desire to please no one but thee. We ask it as we seek thy blessing. In the precious and worthy name of thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Could we sing a couple of verses in closing? Of number 578. We'll sing the first and third verses only of 578. Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, my Lord, from thee. In love my soul would vow, my heart fulfill its vow, some offering bring thee now, something for thee. Let's sing the last two verses only of number 578.